Welcome to One in Christ, where the radiant story of Jesus come to life.
So we are at Genesis 17. Let me do this. Genesis 17 now. I was actually debating if I should read all 27 verses, but David was here talking about the Word of God. So I am going to read the entirety.
所以我们会把圣经打开到创世纪的第十七章，然后牧师会把整章读下来。
Because it's the Word of God. So let's read. If you can open your Bibles to Genesis 17, that's where we are today. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of the multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into nations, and the kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for the everlasting possessions. I will be their God. Verse 9. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep your covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and you. He who is eight days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations, whether born in your houses or bought with your money from your foreigners, who is not your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh an everlasting covenant. And an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Shall the child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael may live before you. And God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as the everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born into his house, and bought with his money every male among the men of Abraham's house. And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house, and those bought with money from the foreigner, were circumcised with him. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. you choose to reveal yourself through your word. Lord, we are here, talk to us, touch our heart so that we know you and want to love you and follow you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is chapter 17. You're probably familiar with this. It's not even a story. That's an encounter between God and Abraham. And he changed his name and made a covenant with him. That's the whole story.
所以第17章可能还不算是一个故事, 但是它是一个神和亚伯拉罕之间的碰面, 在这里面彼此他们立约。
This chapter is loaded with messages, information.
这里面有很多的信息。
I can easily do three sermons out of this.
在这里面我可以很简单讲三篇道。
But there's going to be one sermon with three titles.
但是在这里面我会讲一个道, 但是有三个不同的标题。
I really don't think I'm doing a very good service to the chapter, but I will try.
我会尽量尽我所能。
The first point is the visitation. I use the three words for the three titles. Visitation from God. The second is the identity change from God, because God changed his name and Sarah's name to Sarah. So the identity change, and the third one, of course, the covenant made.
所以第一个我会讲到说神的到访，第二个是说他们的身份的转变，第三个是神之间与他们立的约。
This is chapter 17, but if you take a look at the context, that will actually make you understand the chapter easily. Not easily, but more clearly. Abraham was 99 years old now. And his son, from chapter 16, from his maidservant, Hagar, is 13 years old. So when he had Ishmael, he was 86 years old. Okay, so chapter 16, he was 86 years old, and in chapter 17, he's 99 years old. So for us, it just flip a page, but the chapter is 13 years apart. And if we go back to chapter 15, chapter 12, where God first encountered Abraham and called him out of Ur of Chaldean, he was 76 years old, 73 years old. So basically, many years in between, from chapter 12 to chapter 15 to chapter 16, to chapter 17. I just give you the lifespan over there.
所以给大家一些背景的介绍，我们现在看到第十七章亚伯拉罕已经九十九岁，但是在第十六章，那时候亚伯拉罕才八十六岁，那时候他才刚刚生以实玛利。如果我们回顾到在第十二章里面，神第一次遇到亚伯拉罕，召他出乌尔的时候，那时候亚伯拉罕才十七十三岁，所以只是翻了几篇章节，但是我们已经经历了亚伯拉罕已经过了很久了。
Couple of weeks ago we said when God encountered him in chapter 15, that's when Abraham was really living in a fearful situation. He just won the battle. He didn't know what's going to happen to him after he won the battles over the five kings. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have a military power. He doesn't have a son. Doesn't have a land. What's going to happen? That's when God encountered him, chapter 15, established the covenant with him. Remember, God walked through the pieces of animals, the slain animals. God made a covenant with him unilaterally in chapter 15.
所以如果回顾到第十五章的时候，亚伯拉罕在一个非常不确定的一个情况里面，他刚刚赢了战争，他不确定他的未来是怎么样，他没有钱也没有军事实力，也要担心这个敌人的就是报复，他没有儿子也没有地，但是在这里面上帝去显现，然后并且他实现了这个约定，单向的去走过了这两个死去的动物死去的尸体。
In chapter 16, you can see that Abraham's faith is kind of wavering. And he started making, you know, he's getting older and older. God made the promise. He's promised his son. He doesn't have a son. And his wife, great idea. You know, why don't we have a son through the maidservant? Think about it. This is a bad idea. So before he was 86 years old, and nobody knows whose problem is. You know, is the males, is Abraham's problem, Sarah's problem. Why can't we have any kids? Now you have a son through Hagar. Whose problem is it now? It's Sarah's problem, everybody's. You know, It created a lot of domestic conflicts over there. That's what happened in chapter 16. Hagar was really looking down upon and her servant mom, and Sarah was not happy, and Hagar was kicked out, and God showed up, and all that type of thing. So Abraham's faith wavering, and that created a lot of domestic conflicts in chapter 16.
所以在第十六章的里面呢，我们发现了他的亚伯拉罕信心产生了动摇，他没有儿子，所以他们就想说，哎，为什么不让亚伯兰和他的使女夏甲去一起生孩子？但是在没有这个过程之前呢，亚伯兰和撒来他们不知道彼此是到底是谁的问题，但是亚伯兰和夏甲有孩子之后，就发现原来是撒来没有办法生育，所以夏甲就开始就有了这样对祖母的这样的一个态度，然后他们就之间就产生了很多一系列家庭的问题。
I don't know. Abraham's name, we're going to get there eventually, but Abraham's name is Abraham, right? Abba is a father. That's how I remember. Abba is a father, Ram exalted. So Abraham is meaning exalted father. In an old age, this is just, that means you have a lot of kids. For the first 86 years, or 70 some years,even up to the 80-some years, when they have a little family reunion, the friends have a Thanksgiving party or something like this. Oh, what's your name? My name is Abraham. Oh, that's great, interesting name. Exotic father. How many kids do you have? None. Well, this is bad. You know, like, you call yourself Rich. My first name is Rich. How much money do you have? None. I mean, this is just a bad name. This is just a bad name for Abraham.It's a bad name for Abram.
所以亚伯兰他的名字我们如果拆开的话，他是多国的或者是多人的父亲的一个意思。就想象他在和朋友去聚会的时候，他在说，哎，我叫亚伯兰，然后人家说你有几个孩子，我说没有，那这个人家就拿他当个笑话去看了。
Well, when he was 86 and got a kid called Ishmael from the maid servant, now he's got, you know, probably feel a little better.How many kids do you have? One. Okay, all right.
可能有以实玛利之后，他好歹可以说我至少有一个儿子。
And he probably believed, as he said in this chapter, Ishmael is probably the one God promised him. He's going to settle with that.
所以他可能会觉得说，以实玛利就是上帝所应许他那孩子，他也可以接受这样的现实。
There's some problems in the family. I don't know about this, but you know, it is what it is.
家里肯定有些问题，我也不知道怎么办，但这就这样吧。
That's the context when God showed up.
所以这个就是神出现的一个背景。
He's probably, you can even smell and say, faith is plateaued already. And I had a great encounter with God in chapter 12 many years ago, and in chapter 15, God, you know, a lot of smoke, a flying torch, and that's just fantastic. And God made a great promise for me,And you know what? It's up to my wife to give me the idea to have the son. Well, you know, maybe that's it. I'm just basically it. I mean, I don't, you know, this is my life now. He's just going to live his life. That's the context we have when God said in verse 1, God showed up to him, start calling him, the visitation from God.
所以如果我们真的去看亚伯拉罕的属灵状况的话，他的生命基本上已经到了一个瓶颈期。在经过了第十二章神的和他第一次会面，到第十五章这是有烟的有火这样的意象，但是到现在来讲，虽然他的太太让他有一个和他使女有个孩子，但他也就这样接受了这个现实。但是上帝就在第十七章，在这样的环境下又向他去显现。
I want to spend too much time on the chapter 15 when God showed up to him. God said, "I'm your shield."Don't be afraid when he was really in the fearful situation. Now God is saying, I am God Almighty. We just read it and we just pass it, you know, just a big word all over there. So what does that mean when Abraham, at that time, Abraham was having a faith, having his faith wavering, you know, kind of like reaching the plateau of his spiritual life when God said, I am God Almighty.What does that mean? Almighty in the Hebrew word is El Shaddai. That's El is short for Elohim. That means the God Almighty. He's full of strength and full of might. He has power. He's powerful. So that's Elohim. Shaddai, that means, literally means breast. meaning God is the God of love, God is the God of nurture, God of a God of sufficiency. You put the two names, two things together. El Shaddai is God is a God of all sufficiency. He has the power to do it, and he has the willing, he has the heart to do it. So God Almighty, meaning God of all sufficiency, I just basically unpack it for you. You can use all different way to describe that. The God of strength and a God of love.
所以在第十五章里面，不知道大家有没有注意，在神对亚伯拉罕说的时候，他说我是你的盾牌，因为他在经历一个非常担心的时刻。但是在第十七章里面，神向他显现的时候，他说的是我是全能的神。这个 是什么意思呢？如果把它拆解开来的话，他是神有力量、有能力，并且他也有这样的意愿、有这样的爱去供应他。
So the first point, I'm going to pass it very quickly. The first point is when you need your assurance, as Abram.Did at that time, you need to remember who God really is. That's when God revealed himself by calling himself God Almighty. Because he's still in control. He is going to make that happen. And as we will find out, the Son is still going to come, and God has something much grander, much bigger for Abram. Abram was like,It is what it is. I'm probably 99 years old. I'm going to die pretty much soon. My life is going to kind of like an end. But God said, I'm not over yet. So when you reach your point where your spiritual life, you kind of hit the wall, you've been there, done that, I don't care about that anymore. So many churches have been to all different denominations, different languages. I'm old enough. What am I going to do with my life? Whatever. That kind of thing.You need to remember, God is going to show up as he did to Abraham. I am a God Almighty, and I am El Shaddai.
所以在这个里面我们可以看到的一个点就是说，当我们 去寻找这样的确信的时候，我们有这样不确定的时候，我们要记住神的 是掌权的。就像在亚伯拉罕的处境里面，他所应许那个儿子还是会来，神要给他是比亚伯拉罕现在所接纳的接受的要更好。很多时候我们是不是在这样的处境中，我已经经历了太多教会，我已经无所谓了，不在乎了。但是在这个时候，神可能也会提醒我们说，他是一个全能的神，他会这样。
Maybe you have reached your midlife crisis, but he has not started yet. So give him a chance. Remember his name. His name is God Almighty.
所以你可能在中间危机可能还没到，但是记得他的名字，他是全能的神。
That's my first point, a visitationfrom God in the context of Abram's life when he was 99 years old and when he had his faith wavering and reached the plateau. And God is not done yet. After this, after the son, he thought that was really done. My son is grown up and I'm done with my life. I'm retiring. I got my land. And no, he never got his land. I basically accumulated wealth. God said, I'm going to take your son to the mountain. We're going to go there. So God has not started yet. So,
所以在这个里面，虽然他九十九岁，他这个儿子还没来，但是以后我们也会看到说，他虽然有了很多财富，他儿子也来了，但是神说你要把你的儿子带到这个山上去，但我们还没到。不要觉得上帝已经和你玩完了，因为他是全能的神。
So the second point is his identity change. God start calling him Abraham. This is even interesting name.Abraham is the father of a multitude of nations, right? It's not just the exalted father that you have a lot of sons. That means that you are going to be the father of a lot of people and nations. It's a grander, the greater name than Abraham itself.
所以我们在讲到身份的转变的时候，他已经不再叫亚伯兰，就是很多儿子的爸爸，而是他是说亚伯拉罕，他是多国的父，他的身份也有了一定的转变。
Whenever you still remember.In the Bible, throughout the Bible, God changed a lot of names. From Simon to Peter, to Abraham, from Jacob, gave his name Jacob and all that. So whenever you see the name change in the Bible, something dramatic would be happening.At that time.
所以在圣经里面有很多的名字的转变，像西门变成彼得，亚伯兰变亚伯拉罕，雅各变成以色列。当在圣经里面有提到名字转变的时候，要记得他肯定是有一个很大的重要的事情在他生命中会有一定变化。
Name is so important in the Bible and in our daily life. We don't call this guy number 32. We call him John. He has a name that means something. There's a meaning behind it. I mean, we used to be, you know, can give you some examples, especially the English name. They call people last name Baker, Smith, and all those vocation that define who this guy is. Mr. Smith, now it's just Mr. Smith. It used to be a blacksmith. It's just doing that thing. Baker, you know, Baker, baking things.
所以名字其实带了很多的意思。如果你看英文的姓氏的话，很多，比如说 Smith, 他是铁匠 ,Baker, 他可能就代表了他以前是家族里是烘烤的。
So the last name usually provide the fundamental or significant role of who you are, basically, trying to identify you. You are who and who with your last name. So that's basically give you identity. Maybe the identity reflects your vocation, your job,maybe from your descendant, maybe royal, some kind of descendant from somewhere. So the name makes a huge difference.
So your name actually 代表了可能有的时候代表了你的你是谁，你从哪来，或者是你这个人的家庭以前是什么样的，它是有一定的这样代表的意义。
That's the last name. The first name actually can show the ownership. You can name me. My dad named me, or mom named me. When I was brought into this life by them, they have the rights, the ownership over my life. They call me this name, and I call Timmy because I'm his dad. Mom call him Timmy because she's her mom. So you can't just change the name. So whenever the name is being changed from one to another,That guy who's changing the name is claiming the ownership over there.
所以在我们讲名字的时候，我命名权是父母的，因为他们借着他们给了我们生命，就像是我不能叫他别的名字，我可以有这样的命名权去命名我自己的儿子一样。所以在名字的改变的时候，代表着一个他所属权的一个转换。
So Abraham is being changed from his name is being changed from Abraham to Abraham to.Be assigned a new identity with a new mission, owned by God.
所以在他从亚伯兰变成亚伯拉罕的时候，他的名字转变，他身份转变了，并且他的所属的人也转变，变成神了。
He's still old, 99-year-old, but now with a new name, he has a new mission, and we're going to find out the promise God made with him very quickly. But he's going to have a new mission now.
所以他也会因着他的新的名字有一个新的任务或者神给他的使命。
Meaning he has a new identity. So if you, that's application I'm giving to you. I'm going to get to the covenant. Don't worry too much about that. So if you really want to find who you are, I know everybody has a name. You call yourself Wendy, Amy, whatever. Call yourself name. But do you know what God wants to call you?You need to find out your real identity in him by what? By having a great and a deeper commitment with him. You're going to find why he created you in this world, what he had in his mind for your life. How do you find out who you are, your true identity? Not from your dad or mom, even your pastor. It's from your God who created you,and died for you, and saved you. So you need to have a commitment with him to find who you really are. You are not like me, or middle-aged, getting ready to retire kind of, you know, family man. No, I'm defined not by the society, I'm defined by who created me.
所以在这里面，我们真的如果要去看说我们到底是谁，我们除非真的花把时间或者是把我们委身到上帝那里面，我们来才能看到说上帝真的是给我们的身份是什么样的，我们为什么存在，他想让我们过一个什么样的生活，就是只有在这个上帝他造了我们，他为我们死并且他拯救了我们，我们发现从这里面去看的时候，我的身份不再被我现在的年纪，不再被我现在的职业，不再被任何的事情定义，而是被神所定义。
When we say identity, we're always thinking about who are we. But I want to change the phrase a little bit. It's actually more accurate to say whose are we? Who do we really belong to? That's actually what defines your identity. Okay, if you belong to a money-making business or career or whatever, if you think you are someone who's here to make money, you actually belong to the money. You know what I'm saying? It's not the who are you, it's the whose are you. So actually I'm asking you, who are you serving? You thinking you are serving, you're doing a job, make money, and you want to spend money, and the amount of money defines who you are and how much value you have. You think you a master of the money? It's actually the money is your master. So you belong to the money-making business. The question is, who are you really serving? That will actually determine your identity. You spend money, eventually the money is going to spend you. Who's your master is my question.
所以其实我们在讲到一个身份的问题的时候，不是说我们是谁，而说我们是属于谁。举个例子来说，我们说我属于一个制造钱的一个公司，我那基本上就在反映我属于钱，然后我在为着钱去工作，然后我是觉得我在花这钱，但实际上最后这个钱是在消耗我的生命。
Right, that's the second point, the identity. The first one is God of visitation. The second is the identity. The third one is, of course, that takes the most of the chapter 17 is covenant that God made them. That's the two parts. In verse 4, the ESV did not translate, but NIV says, "As for me," right? Verse 4, ESV says, "Behold, my covenant is with you," but the NIV says, "Behold, as for me." Is that correct, John? Yeah, so "as for me," meaning God is making a promise in this covenant. And in verse 9, yes, we translate it, "As for you, you shall keep this covenant." So the covenant God made with Abraham has two parts. One is the promise God made with Abraham, and the second part is God required Abraham to respond. So the covenant becomes a mutual covenant now.
所以在英文里面，它如果我们看第四节，它中文只是讲了我，但是在英文里面有特别强调说，至于我，我要与你立约，这是上帝他的约定。但是在第九节，中文里面也没有有，其实没有讲到说至于你，其实在这里面就是代表着说亚伯拉罕，你需要做什么事情，你的回应是什么样子。
So God, the promises God given, you can have at least how really depends on how many you can count, either 6 or 7 promises God.Give to Abraham.
在这里面我们可以看你怎么数，这里面其实有六到七个神的应许给亚伯拉罕的。
God had given a new name. God had made him the father of a multitude of nations. God had made him the king of all the nations, right? All the kings will come from you. That's the third one. God said, "I am your God. I'm the God of your offspring." So God promised that he's going to become personal with you as well. And God said, Ishmael, not coming from Sarah, is not the promised son. And the son, I'm going to promise a son from Sarah. That's number 5. Let me count the descendants, all your descendants. It's not just, the covenant is not just made with you. All your descendants are included in the covenant as well. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you can count. It's on the...
所以在这上面我们其实如果数的他有一个新的名字，然后是他是一个多国之父，并且他不只是这样，他是一个国王的一个样子，并且他的后裔呢，第四个就是他的后裔也是被神的应许所覆盖的，然后第五个就是他会有一片地，并且上帝会成为是有一个个人生命或者个人生活有个人关系的一个神，然后第七个就是最后你有一个儿子会从撒来这边生出来。
Yeah, and of course, the promise is so remarkable. Abraham is like, fell down on the floor, started laughing. He's not doubting, and he's doubting. He's because it's too good to be true. He's just too big. Nation, I got the son. I tried so many years. I got this one. I almost got killed. And you're talking to me, I'm going to be father of all nations? Ha, ha, ha.That type of thing.
所以就亚伯拉罕对于这个神这个太美好的这样一个应许，他就在那里就开始笑了，说我这有这个儿子已经很不容易了，还会给我更好的吗？就有点不敢相信的感觉。
Oh, that's good. 7 of them. So that's the promise God made with Abraham. And what does God require him to do? That's probably, I can spend a lot of time on that one, because the covenant over here is everlasting covenant. What's the difference between this one and the one God made with him in chapter 12 and chapter 15? There's a lot of things going on, but I'm just going to lay out the seven promises God gave to Abraham. And I just want to say one thing. In the New Testament, when Paul was interpreting this section of Genesis, and in Galatians 3, I can read it to you. In Galatians 3:16, he says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to one seed, does not say and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ." So basically, he's saying all the descendant, there is many, but all the promises that God made with Abraham, kind of like fulfilled in Christ. That's what Paul was interpreting this promise in Galatians 3:16.
所以在这里面虽然12章、15章、第17章 它所应许的不同，但是我只是把它列在那里，但保罗在加拉太书里面就有提到说，他会有一定的解读，在这里面加拉太书3章16节说，所应许的原是向亚伯拉罕和他子孙说的，神并不是说众子孙，指着许多人，乃是指着你那一个子孙，指着一个人，就是基督，就是说神对亚伯拉罕虽然说是会应许他一个儿子，但是所有的应许是在耶稣的身上被全部应验的。
Of course, we can ask the question, how does the land promise, how does the nation promise fulfilled in Christ? We can spend time over there. We can go to Romans 4. We can go to Revelation 7. I'm not going to do that because we do not have a lot of time today, but the seven promises over there is big, is remarkable, and it's been fulfilled in Christ. That's what I want to say.
所以我们当然也可以去看说它到底是怎么样被应验的。如果感兴趣的话，可以去读罗马书4章，也可以读启示录的第7章。但是这七点的应许，真的就是如果去看的话，它都是在基督身上被应验的。
What does God require Abraham to do then? There's a couple of things as well. It's very, very relevant. God made a great promise. What does he want from us, from Abraham? The first thing is verse 2, actually. I am your God, walk before me and blameless, verse 1. So the first thing is walk before me. The second thing is blameless. And of course, you have an old sign. It's called a circumcision. We're going to spend a little time over there as well.
所以神要求他做什么呢？就在第一节里面就讲了说，你要在我面前，并且要做一个完全人。当然，我们后面也会提到说他会有割礼。
Walk before me is a very common theme in the Bible. They're everywhere. Live in the face of God, live in the presence of God, walk before me. They basically talk about the same thing. What does that mean for you and me?
在神面前去走，在神面前，或者是与神同行，在圣经里面提到了很多很多次，以不同的方式。那它对我们来说到底意味着什么呢？
Three things. Whenever you see those phrases in the Psalms, in the Bible, in the Old New Testament, three things you probably need to keep in mind. That the first thing is obedience. Walk before me or walk with me. That's kind of similar. Walk before me, walk with me. If John asks me, let's go take a walk. If I say, let's go, that means I'm obedient. I'm in agreement with him. I don't know where he's going, but I'm just going with him. So the very first thing, very obvious, is obedient. Walk before God is walk with God.
所以第一个点呢，就是当我们讲的是在神面前或者与神同行的时候，当一个人邀请我去走，我说好，那我们走，那基本上就是代表着我会去服从，我去顺服，或者是服从和顺服神。You
know what God wants? Of course, a righteous life, a holy life, the life that is consistent with His holy calling. So if you want to walk with God, it's not like some kind of a spiritual high or a feeling or emotion. It's just basically obey the word that he wants you to do. So that's the first thing, the obedience, walk before God.
当然我们回应神的呼召的时候，神所以说我们要去有这样圣洁或者有一样一定的生活，其实就是说我们要去顺从神所给我们讲的话。
The second thing is the relationship. If I walk with this guy, it's not just I walk, I'm close to him. And when I walk with him, we talk, we communicate. It's very, very weird if you ask someone to walk with you that you just walk without talking to each other. I don't know why you're doing that. But walk with God is building up a relationship with Him. At least we talk about the prayer, we talk about the spiritual communion with Him. So that's the second thing. You need to have genuine, real relationship with Him. When you say you walk with Him.
第二件事情就是我们需要和神有一个关系，这个其实看起来会很不好，就比如说我们就出去走，然后我们只是走路，我们不讲话，在这里面就好像是我们和神一起同行的时候，我们就是和他的祷告，或者是我们在领的圣餐，或者彼此之间在基督里相交，都是 与神有这样个人亲密的这样的关系。
The third thing is the process. Walk is takes a lot of time. I mean to from one place to another place. It's a pilgrimage. It's the journey. So spiritual life, when you grow, is not just once and all. I raise my hand, I come to the altar, I go to the water and all that type of things. I join the church, I give the money, I'm done. No, it's going to be a long process to grow in spirit. So it's a process.
第三个呢，就是我们是要有一样的过程，就好像我们进行了一个旅途，从一个点到另一个点。它不是一个说我举手了，或者说我来到祭坛前祷告，或者我们受洗了这一次的事情而已。它是一个持续的过程。
So when you read in Psalms and the Bible, walk before God, live in the presence of God, live in the face of God, remember the three things, the relationship, the obedience, and the process.
所以当我们在读到诗篇，讲到说在神面前，在神殿中与神同行的时候，就请记住这三点，就是我们的顺从和顺服是和神有个亲密的关系。第三个就是我们这是一个过程。
Second, blameless. Blameless always we think it is a perfect. It's less of a perfect, but more of integrity.That means you living in the wholeheartedly, you devote all your life to Him. That's called blameless. The word is called integrity. That's the key word.
所以就无可指责的或者是正直的，就不是说我们是一个完全的人了，而是说我们尽力的用我们的全身心去委身到一个做好的一个情况里面。
Not a hypocrite. I mean, I don't know about your life. If I say something true about your life, if that's the Holy Spirit, it's not me, okay?So you raise your hand saying, holy, 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 we praise the Lord Almighty, all this type of thing, hallelujah. Then you go back home and do whatever in your darkness of the corner of your home. That's called a hypocritical life. You think you just basically pay the tribute to God on Sunday morning, then you do your dirty little stuff at a Sunday night or somewhere else the rest of the week. You are a hypocrite. That's not blameless. That's life without integrity.
所以我们讲到说这个就不是一个伪君子，就像我们刚刚在敬拜的时候讲说圣洁圣洁圣洁，但是我们回家了，在我们自己黑暗的角落里做着一些见不得光的事情，这个不是无可指责，这也不是正直，这是伪君子。
Don't call yourself, you know, don't say, Lord, use me to go to Africa or somewhere. God said, okay, it's actually a very easy thing. What about the hour that you did on, you know, the other day? You call yourself blameless? You think you love me?
所以不要讲说神啊，我要去非洲去宣教，那神就会说，那你现在在这个某个时间段你在做什么？你觉得你真的爱我吗
？So you see, God does not require him too much. Walk before me and blameless.
所以上帝要求的真的不是很多，就是说你在他面前走，然后还有就是无可指责，正直。
But there's the thing God asked him to do, not just to be. The thing's called a circumcision.
所以但是在这里面神也有一个说你要去做的事情。
Circumcision was practiced commonly in Near East at that time for a lot of different reasons, to show that you're a manhood, doing all these type of things. But the circumcision in the Bible is the oath sign with God.
所以在这里面割礼的时候可能有人说这是一个男的一个象征，但是在这里面代表的是我对神向神去承诺去宣誓的一个代表。
What does that indicate? That's actually the symbolic or symbol with the people of God. There are a couple of things I want to just point out why the circumcision is important over there. The first thing is that's the marking of the body that's going to be permanent, even probably more than tattoo, because the part of the foreskin is cut off. You're going to have the so-called a scar or the mark of the bodyfor a long time, for the rest of your life. So that means the covenant he made with God is going to last forever. So that's the first thing, permanent.
在我们讲到割礼的时候，其实 有一个特点，就是它是一个永久性的不可逆的一个过程，不像是纹身一样，而是你的身体一部分就这样被切除了，是永恒的一个约的代表。
The second thing is intimate, because that's a part of the body that's very private, that shows when you have the foreskin cut off is vulnerable. So that means the commitment you have with GodIs from a very inside, innermost of your life. It's not just a behavior modification on Sunday morning. It's something from inside of your life.
第二个，它是一个非常亲密，是一个非常隐私的一个部分，非常脆弱的那个部分，是从里到外的一个过程，代表着我们不再是只是行为上的改变，而是从我们的最内心、最软弱、最脆弱的地方去进行一定的改变。
We are to serve Him, not just being here on Sunday.It's what you really value on your daily basis, what you really desire on your daily basis. Do you really glorify Him? And all the aspects of your life is to glorify yourself. The innermost part of the body is the one God requires to serve Him.
所以这不只是在周日的时候，而是在我们每天的生活中，我们真的是每天是过着一个荣耀神的生活吗？我们心里真的是为了荣耀他吗？还是为了我们自己？所以神要求我们的是，我们最内心的部分是不是真的是荣耀他的一个状态。
Of course, the circumcision is cut off the skin. And he said, when you break the covenant, you're going to be cut off from the covenant. Cut off from the community, from the people.
所以在这里面还有就是你是被刀剪除，在神对亚伯拉罕说了，如果你不遵守这个约定，你们都会被剪除，就是你如果没有守约，你就会像这个皮一样被除掉。
There's a lot of things you can show over there. First of all, that's when you have the oath sign, you are joining not just with God himself, you are joining the community. There's a lot of people who take the same oath, to take the same covenant, same promise with God. You belong to a communityAnd when you break the law or break the covenant, you'll be cut off from it. Then actually, this word, the cut off, has been used many, many times in the Bible. When you say cut off, you can always think about Jesus Christ. That's in Colossians, and I have the quote over there, Colossians 2, 11 to 12. When, I'm going to read it, and I will try to explain that to you. In him you were also circumcised, not with the circumcision done by the hands of man,but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith. So Paul was using the baptism or the death with be equal with the circumcision. Circumcision is cut off, meaning God, actually Jesus, was cut off from the community, from God, from his people, to save the people who don't belong to him.To make those people who don't belong to God to become the people who belong to God. So the cutoff of the skin eventually shows the penalty of the people who break the covenant. You know what? Ultimately, Jesus Christ was treated as the one who broke the covenant and being cut off from the people. So that the people who have nothing to do with God will eventually become children of God.
所以在这个里面我们看到说我们宣这有这样宣誓或者是在进行这样割礼的时候呢，我们总会看到有一个部分是被剪除的。在这里面我们在一个信仰的团体里面，我们是共同的向神有同样的一个盟约或者是有同样的一个承诺，但是如果没有守这个约定的时候，我们会被剪除。当我们想到剪除的时候，我回到圣经里，我们就要想到说耶稣基督他是怎么样被神所剪除拒绝的，所以我们可以因为他被神拒绝而被神所接纳。
Yeah, there's a sign in the New Testament you can really make an argument. The baptism that we have, that's according to Colossians 1, 11, 12, he using the circumcision and baptism as two symbols for the people, for the people to join the community of God.
So,
I really like the baptism. Well, I would say that I really like the baptism. People would say, okay, what about you talk about the males, what about the females?Don't they have a circumcision to join the community? The Old Testament does not allow or does not permit the female to be circumcised because they joined God's community through their brothers and husbands and fathers. I'm so glad, you know, that was not required. And everyone was required to be baptized in the name of Christ, right, in the New Testament.
所以在新约里面，我就很喜欢，就是保罗在你可以引用哥罗西书二章十一到十二节做个例子，就是我们受洗的那时候就是代表着死，然后出来是代表着生。然后，但是在同时，我们讲到说，哎，那女性怎么样？女性需要割礼吗？我很高兴，就是女性不需要，因为她们是因着她的兄弟，因为她的父亲，或者因为她的丈夫被接纳到神的这个 community 里面，然后并且我们现在每个人都需要去接受洗礼。
See, 17 has a lot of information. I can go.Really deep and deep, and it become very, very boring for you. But you need to remember a couple of things. When God made the promise with Abraham, He made a promise through Jesus Christ. We are all the inheritors of His promises in Christ.
所以就当我们这里面你看到有很多的点，我们没有那么多时间，但是当我们想到神的约定的时候，一定要记得是通过耶稣基督我们能够接受神所给我们这样的好处和产业。
What he required of Abraham is actually required of you as well.
所以对亚伯拉罕的约定和要求也是对我们每个人的要求和约定。
How do you respond to God's mercy, merciful love?
我们怎么样去回应上帝这种充满恩典和怜悯的爱呢？
Do you walk before God? Are you obedient?
我们是否在神的面前生活？我们是否去有这样顺服的一个生活的状态呢？
Do you really have a relationship with him? It's like I know lots of you by name, but I just don't know you. Is that relationship like what you have with God? You kind of know him on Sunday a little bit, singing some songs, but the rest of the week you don't even know him.
我们真的是有和神有这样的关系，就好像我认识大家很多的名字，但我真的好像并不是很认识你。难道我们真的和神就只是在星期天才有这样的认识和关系吗？
So,The promise God made with him is, take a look at this, it's just one year, I know it's 12 already, just, all the covenant God made was not in detail. That came in Exodus, chapter 20 of Exodus, that's the law, right? There was no law. If I make a covenant, okay, what's the stipulations? Let me take a look at what should I do? There's nothing over there in this covenant with Abraham.God made a covenant with his people to ask the people to commit to him without really knowing what he's going to do, what he's asking. You just commit to him, to this relationship. It's like a marriage that we have. You can do a lot of study of that guy. You can do the personality test. You can do the weight, and you can do this and this.And the money they make and all the type of things. But it's not going to be exhausted anyway. You are making the commitment with that boy, with that girl for the rest of the life. You're committed to that person, not committed to the law. So when God made a covenant with his people, he's having an invitation for his people, the people who want to have a genuine relationship. Do you commit to this commitment? Do you commit to this relationship?That's what he's asking. And God asked Abraham to walk before him, to be blameless, and have a sign over there.
所以在我们看到说神和亚伯拉罕有这样的约定的时候，我们没有看到有很多实质性上要做的事情。但因为这个实质性要做的事情可能在出埃及记第二十章才会出现，这就好像婚姻一样，我们没办法去知道这个人所有的我们这个性格，他有多少钱，这个我们没办法知道全部，但是我们需要跟他花这样一生去跟他相处。就好像上帝其实是在对我们有一个个人化或者是一个邀请，我们是否愿意去活在他面前，是否愿意跟他进入这样的关系。
Brothers and sisters, God is faithful GodWhen I read this the chapters again and again, I was thought, it was astonishing. Because so many years has passed, God didn't show up, and it looks like and everything's just settled as the way it is. Then God showed up. He said, I'm not done with your life. I'm going to give you something else for you to do. Your life is not done yet, because it's God Almighty and a faithful God. Walk before him, become blameless in him, and he said,You're going to enjoy the life, and it's abundant life. That's the promise God has made through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, when we come to you, we come to you not just as a person, we come to you as the one who has been created in the image of God and saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, you are a faithful God. For so many years, you have dealt with Abraham. Even in spite of his unfaithfulness, in spite of his limitness, in spite of his sinfulness, Lord, we are like the people in the Bible. We're limited, we are sinful, we don't know what we're doing, we're weak, and we don't even want to believe you anymore. But God, show us your faithfulness, show us that you are God Almighty. And you said, I am not done with your life yet. Tell us that. Whenever we read your word, the Holy Spirit will inspire us to exalt us. Lord, we want to know who we really are in you. Lord, may this year be the year that we know more about ourselves and more of you so that we can love you and serve you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please subscribe if you like our content. One in Christ as a multi-ethnic church. You're more than welcome to join us and to worship our Lord together. And we'd like to hear your unique stories with Jesus in the future.